William Zick is a retired administrative law judge for the MESC, the Michigan Employment Security Commission. He has degrees from Detroit College of Law, Wayne State University, and the University of Michigan. William Zick is now an independent historian. He has, for many years, had a passion for researching the music and lives of neglected composers of African descent. As a way of sharing his research and discoveries with others that are interested in the music and musicians of African heritage, Webmaster Zick established a website and blog, afroclassical.com. It started out as chevalierdesaintgeorge.com, named for the first black musician he discovered and researched. Over time, he researched many other African-American and composers and musicians of African descent, so he changed the name to afroclassical.com. In our conversation, William Zick talks about his passion.
Before I retired, about 1995, about 2 years before I retired, I was first building up a CD collection. So I was haunting the record stores locally. And I came across two CDs that had been recorded 2 years earlier in Detroit by Mamie Yarvey, with music of William Grant Still and William Levi Dawson and Duke Ellington.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was amazed because I used to discuss this issue about black composers and classical music with my dad, who's gone now, but for years when I was growing up, he knew that I always wanted to watch Leonard Bernstein's concerts for young people, and that I preferred classical, and all the music that he had was his jazz collection, much of it from many years past. And we used to talk about what the composers did, and he would tell me that the composers of color, as well as other jazz composers, in his opinion, were on par with the classical composers. You know, it was something that we used to discuss casually. And he used to tell me that it was just a matter of choice that people like Duke Ellington could have composed music on the level of classical composers if they had wished to, but they had not wanted to. And then several years after he had passed, that I discovered this series, including Duke Ellington. It was a two CD set that was recorded in Detroit by Mamie Yarvey. And I thought it was ironic that an outsider, not even an American, was the one who led an American orchestra to record music by African Americans, which had been neglected.
Yeah, one would wonder how Mamie Yarvey, what was the process that he decided to do that?
That is a good question. He is very he's one who has investigated a lot. He's done a lot of interesting things in various parts of the world. That's about all I can theorize, is that he is a curious person to my knowledge. But I don't really have the details of how it was that he became aware that there was a very good music that had been neglected and that was ripe for someone to record.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah, I suppose that here I am conducting this American orchestra. Let me look into some American composers and see what's there. You know, have this American great American orchestra record, you know, some music by some notable American composer.
Right, and not just American, but African American.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know how that element arose, but of course, by 1993, the city of Detroit had a pretty substantial population of people of color, and of course from a number of years before that. And so someone who was being analytical about it could easily have considered that to be a field that deserved exploration.
Yeah. Well, I agree that those recordings are really wonderful, and he didn't, Nemiyerov didn't complete, I don't believe he did all the symphonies. I don't think he...
He did not.
Of William Gladstone.
It was Naxos that did the first complete series,
yes,
of William Grant Still symphonies, for example. They did all five.
That was Maestro Jeter, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, John Jeter.
Yeah.
Was the conductor. That's what you're referring to, I think.
Yes, and so these works sort of hooked you in the recordings.
Well, I was flabbergasted, to tell you the truth. I had listed at that point, starting from the time that to college, I had listened to classical music for over 30 years, about 33 years to be specific, because when I entered college and I headed right for the music library, and I did more music listening than homework, which is probably reflected in my grades. But, pardon?
No, I was just chuckling.
So anyway, I had, starting with the college library and then depending mainly on classical radio stations, and there were several at that time in Flint and Detroit, mostly in the Detroit area, but I was able to get them from the places where I happened to live. And so even though I didn't have a lot of recordings, I had access to a lot of classical music. But when I saw these two recordings and I realized that none of the three composers had ever turned up, I had no idea they even existed. And to be honest with you, I was angry. And I felt cheated. And I had done my master's in civil rights at Wayne State University and focused on discrimination in the building trades and employment. And then I went to work for the Department of Civil Rights for 7 years. For the last 5 years, I was their training officer. I was going to law school at night, and I was training their investigators into what the law of civil rights discrimination was. And that's the basic work that I did until, after finishing law school, I was able to work on a handicap discrimination law, and then I was appointed an administrative law judge for the Employment Security Commission.
Yeah.
But anyway, to get back to the website, I thought I will make this my personal civil rights issue.
Yeah, well, you
because this isn't right.
What you did was you discovered that here are pieces that were as good as any classical piece of music, and it's only just now coming out on a recording to be discovered, and it's where has it been all these years, and how many other composers have been neglected? Is that the sort of path you took?
Absolutely. I immediately began looking, and it didn't take long before I started accumulating a collection. I discovered Samuel Coleridge Taylor and Le Chevalier de Saint-Georges, and they started tumbling out once I opened the door.
Becomes very expensive too, but
yes,
but it becomes an insatiable appetite
at first, but of course, once I got established, I began receiving recordings, and I received most of the recordings that I get now are given to me for review purposes, for example.
And where do they? What sorts of recordings are, you know, what's the literature that you're receiving to review? Is it anything and everything, or does it tend to be African American composers?
Well, it does tend to be African Americans. Occasionally I get something unusual, like I was given the Black Hamlet that was produced by the Royal Shakespeare Company on DVD several months ago. But mostly I deal with the CDs, and generally they are African Americans. Occasionally they may be from Africa itself. There are, you know, there's a relatively small number of African composers, some who have moved to the U.S. and some who are still there, who have recordings, and I have some of those. But you're right, the majority would be people of African descent from the U.S. Some are increasingly from Europe, especially from the United Kingdom. Like Wayne Marshall has a few recordings, and this new group that started a couple years ago, the Chiniki, you may have heard of them. It's only about 2 years old and was founded by Chichi Nwanoku, who's an Irish, Nigerian musician. She plays a double bass. And she has some honors in England. They call her an MBE, for example, in her name. She's won a few honors for her work in promoting classical music among people of color.
Well, and so the discovery you made, and the you say you felt cheated at not knowing of such music before, that would have been then the impetus to start a blog site and to start the Afroclassical
site. First, it was a collection. I started getting CDs and a few books. But before I got into the website stage, it wasn't until 1997 when I saw the picture, the engraving of Le Chevalier de Saint-Georges on Rachel Barton Pine's recording. Said to be four black composers, although it was discovered later that one of them was white. But that recording, the engraving of Saint-Georges dressed as a swordsman, because he was a champion fencer. At one time he was the leading fencer in France when he was a young man in the early 20s. That's one of the things I focused on the website once I got to it. But when I saw that picture on the cover of Rachel Barton Pine's CD of Black Composers, I thought that was what I needed to illustrate to people, that someone had reached the top of society, had performed regularly with Marie Antoinette, for example. And she went to his concerts that he conducted. And he's the one who commissioned the six Paris symphonies of Franz Joseph Haydn. And Marie Antoinette liked one particularly well, and that's what the one that's called Lorraine, or the Queen, because it was her favorite. So there were so many connections that established, there were strong evidence of the achievement of this person, that I felt that was all I needed at that time to give credibility to the existence. To this day, I run into relatively well-informed people who say, what are you talking about, black composers? They don't exist.
Yeah.
So I'm still running into people who don't know anything about this.
Well, I don't think...
It's a very slow process. Pardon?
Yeah, it's not... It's you're not alone in that, because the thing I see that's sort of common is that... There are those, including Judith Ann Still, whom I've been talking with for the past couple of years and recording with, and she's been working since what, the mid '80s, on her father's legacy, and it's a slow go. It's a slow process.
Yes, a very slow process to get publicity, because if people are not ready or don't feel that they're ready, they're not prepared
exactly
for what they will discover.
And as you get into this, you realize that it becomes not just being aware, but of changing systems and changing the way things are done, I suppose, in the system here, educationally or otherwise, that makes it even more difficult to get this the knowledge of this this music out there. What were the first things when you started actually first established Afroclassical and your blog site?
Well, at first I called it Le Chevalier de Saint-Georges. Just started with him only.
Oh, okay.
It was later that I started adding people. When I had about 15, I decided I needed to give it a title that reflected the wider field.
I see.
Of composers and musicians of color. And that's when I came up with Afroclassical, a couple of years after I started it as Saint-Georges. Yeah. So the pages are still called Saint-Georges.
And what appears there are not only, I think the people are aware then of concerts going on in a particular area, interviews.
That's particularly the focus of the blog.
I see. Okay.
Yes, the blog focuses heavily on concerts, performances, recordings, ephemera.
It's a good place for people to start. If they're not familiar with composers of African descent, there is exactly a link that says that, so that people can make a discovery quickly and just how much is there.
That's what I was hoping for. I wanted to make it clear to any interested person that high-level artists of color existed in the classical world.
I've been talking with William Zick, webmaster of Afroclassical.com, where you can research composers and musicians of African descent. The recordings he referred to during the conversation are on the Shandos label, featuring the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Naomi Yerby, and playing music of William Grant Still, Duke Ellington, and William Levi Dawson. At the Afroclassical.com homepage, there are links to Bill Zick's blog, information on composers and musicians, black history, and audio samples. You can listen to this interview again at WMUK.org. There is also a link to this interview at WMUK's Facebook page. I'm Jack Perlstein.